flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollandBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Let's talk to Eric right now, calling from Mount Laurel. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great week leading up to Super Bowl. This is the best. It's great. The possibility of BG coming back, even better. My question is for BG. The difference between last year and this year, how big was Vic Fangio in that? Is it the coach's scheme and message that gets the defense turned around? Because, yeah, the talent is huge, but you have two rookies in Quinion and
DeJean.
DeJean, which are great talents, but is it the coach that molds that and shapes that and flips the script from a disaster last year to
good question.
A Super Bowl appearance this year?
You know what? First, it was the draft that happened. Howie and them drafted great. Vic came in. You get Vic coming in. And you know what's tough? Sometimes you lose all them good coaches after a Super Bowl. And that's what's tough. Like, you get to the Super Bowl like we did in 22, and then 23 come. You got to scramble around to kind of find your pieces. You got Desai. Then Desai got to get his supporting cast. I think Vic was able to get his supporting cast that worked with him, that where he can relay his message. And that's always the thing. When we only got – like 9 months to really get to the season, you know, and I mean, what in those months we got April, May, June, off-season program, and then summertime you off. And then you got to kind of go over it again to kind of get going, because now it's full speed, because we got to go, because September is game time.
Sure.
And so it's the team, players and coaches. That relationship has to grow, and you have to trust what's going on. And Vic was tough at first, but you want to do your job, because obviously you want to get another contract, especially a lot of guys that we got a chip on their shoulder, as like a Zach Bond, who like, man, I'm a one-year deal. I'm going to go bet on myself in Philly, and look what happened. And so I think it don't work if everybody's not all in. And it's just a credit to everybody, not just one person, it's everybody, because people could go against Vic and make it harder for Vic and make it cancerous for some of the guys if you're not about making them the superstar or putting them in position to be that. So I think everybody, man, just happy to make plays, and we're doing it together, and it's a lot of plays for everybody when we have that selfless attitude. So
it's great, man.
I think it's just that.
Brandon, well, everyone is all of Philadelphia is pulling for you, praying for you that you get back and get on that field and get a strip sack and turn the tide of a game or anything.
Even the atheists are praying, Eric. Everyone's praying. Everyone.
Right.
Eric, give me an answer, bud. Who or what got a second chance?
It's kind of like a who and a what. It's the who is Tommy John and the surgery that's given so many pitchers.
That's really interesting.
That's a phenomenal answer.
That is, man. That is a who.
Great one.
And that is a what. That's
growing harder.
I really like that answer
surgery.
A lot.
I do too. Quite a bit.
Brandon, when you... can you give us an idea, like, when you first injured this, how unlikely was it that you'd be able to return this season? Was it like, because that, it feels like it just happened.
I know. It did.
When you injured this, it had to be like everyone just thought it was over, right?
What, even myself.
Yeah, you did believe it was over.
Wow.
So how did it occur?
It would be a possibility of us just talking about it. You know, I'm just like, hey, let's just go win one for me.
How did you get to the point where it's like, wait, I might be able to really do this?
Well, you know what? It's how you rehab. I mean, how your body feeling. And then when, like, we talk about it. Like, sometimes some rehabs, you don't make it look easy. It's like, yeah, you got to take your time with certain stuff. But this is the first time I'm like, man, this is the easiest of the ones I've had. Mm-hmm. Where knee, Achilles, you had to go through those growing pains of like, man, I can't even push through certain stuff just yet. You got to let it really heal and get to that time. And I feel like in this position right now, it's been a really good rehab and best one of, you know, my other ones. So I'm like, if it's a shot, let's do it. But I got to talk to Doc and we got to see.
Is this just unprecedented? You're like creating new standards, man, by coming back potentially?
Man, I know. It does do that for others where people say, hey, well, this guy did it. This guy did that. But everybody's body heals different, I feel, because a lot of people, pain tolerance is a little different too. Uh-huh. And so I know for me, if I can, I will. And just know you're going to get everything regardless if I'm on or I'm not.
Good for you, man. Did you pray on it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man. That's number one. Boy, I'm still praying for that, whatever happens. Like, just, I trust him. And so I just know for me, I'm enjoying the moment because, one, we 2-2 and we ain't done nothing yet. Now, don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying all the stuff I just remember from the beginning. Oh, we got them receipts, baby, and I can't wait to bring them out.
He's coming after Richie.
He said,
he's coming after
two.
The
it's
hammer.
Good fun, though.
He said, we're 2-2. Like, oh, yeah. like you really feel like that in your mind.
And
like, we are
done.
2-2. We've got so much to prove.
Yes, and we not done because I've been here before. 22. We was this. We was that. Man, we. Yeah. But we came up short. And we know that was a heck of a season. That team was fun, and I'm having fun with this one. But this time around, I want to be on the other side of it where the confetti coming down on us. And, you know what I'm saying? Because it was tough because that confetti come down before you even get off the field. So everybody feel that.
It's,
you know,
nauseating.
That's brutal.
It's the wrong color.
Nauseating is the word.
You're still stuck, but the confetti just over your side, flying. You know, it's
everywhere.
You can't
get away from it.
That's fascinating. Really is. Let's talk to Keith in Springfield. Keith, good morning. You're on with Brandon Graham.
Good morning,
baby. Let's go.
How you doing, man? Oh, dude, you're one of my favorite stories in the NFL, man. So glad you might be back with our birds on 2 weeks almost from now.
Man, let's get it.
Yeah. This is a fantastic team. The dictionary definition of a great team, isn't it, right? You know, we win when we have adversity. We overcome. We play as a team, and we're super professional about it. Do you agree, Brandon? It's a better team?
100%. I feel really good about this team. We got to go finish the
deal.
We
got a win coming to Philly.
You know?
Well, look, I mean, Keith, it's going to be tough, but I think the Eagles are going to win. I'm going to pick them. But I will say what I said yesterday. Kansas City is really good as well. And, you know, there's a reason it's a small line. And I do think it's a 50-50 type game. And while I think the Eagles have a better roster, I mean, Mahomes is Mahomes. So, you know, it's, you know, he is in that Jordan, Gretzky, Brady category. And I don't say that lightly, but I believe that. So it's a great challenge, but obviously the Eagles have a fantastic chance.
Yeah, I love it. I'm the most confident I've ever been going into a Super Bowl, and it's just an awesome feeling. This whole town loves you guys more than anything, and my God, are we ready.
Good for you, man. Keith, give me an answer. Who or what got a second chance?
How about the big dog himself, Brandon Graham? Whether you start in your career, people doubting you, you come back as Super Bowl hero of 52, and now you might join our birds at the Super Bowl, baby.
Hey, boy, that's
all right.
What's up.
Double second chance.
That was nice stuff right there, man. that really. And also, you know, you came back from the Achilles 3 years ago that, man, for some people, like Kobe was never the same. When he tore his Achilles, he came back.
Especially in your 30s.
Wasn't the same.
Yeah. Nah, I'm...
Elton Brand wasn't the same.
I'm thankful, man. Like you say, prayer is real, man. I'm just enjoying it, enjoying the whole process. And if I'm out there, let's go. You know you're going to get it.
Let me throw this one at you. On Super Bowl Sunday, you going to enjoy it in a uniform as an active player?
Nice.
Or are you going to be in street clothes on the sideline? I'm just asking for a friend, Brandon.
I know. Hey, that's fair. You're going to have to tell him. You're going to have to wait and see.
All right, Brandon, final couple minutes here, man. How proud of you are your defense that in your absence
you know, the young guys really stepped up. And they had been playing great before. But Nolan Smith, I think more than anybody, elevated his game dramatically in the last month and a half.
Yeah, you know, I think it's everything, man. It's who, how we talking to each other, how we supporting each other, the dances, the everybody running up on everybody, man. You don't see that a lot because a lot of people, if they didn't make the play, they kind of walking off. And you can kind of tell with you could kind of tell with teams when they not together. And this one, this just ain't it. And, man, that's why I'm just so proud of them because they didn't miss a beat. And if anything, they created more names for people to know in the household. Like, I'm telling you, that boy Nolan, I knew already that he was going to be special. But I knew that it was going to be an uphill battle, too, because he don't know what he don't know. But now he's figuring it out. And I'm loving that for him because he's going to be able to serve some other guys. And then he's helping Jalen Carter get – hey, we got to find out what we're going to do about Nolan. Then you got Sweaty. Then you got Moro or Dramo. It's a lot of stuff that's happening right now.
Are all the guys who came in from the same teams in college, is that experience different for you? I mean, you're not a member of those teams. You were a member of great college teams. But you've got teammates now who they've got built in, you know, I don't even know what you'd call that. Frameworks of guys that they've been working with for a long time. This is Howie onto something with this? Like, this is kind of unprecedented in the NFL. I'd never seen other teams doing it. Is this Howie just taking connectivity to the next level? Is this the organization really just thinking outside the box and doing something that truly did help this team get better? Because it's not something that we talk
about.
Well,
team also
so
need, I'll say this, Brandon, team did need to replace some defensive players. Obviously, a lot of great players left as free agents.
Yep.
And it just so happened to coincide with Georgia having the best defense maybe in the last 25 years in college football. It did kind of, the worlds came together in a good way there.
It fell right into our lap on his strategic plan on how he got them guys, too. Because, I mean, Jalen Carter, he go through the accident that happened with his friend, and then everybody got question marks. And then he sat, how he like, look, everybody that come here, we got a good – I mean, he trusted his group of people that's in the building that would be able to take on a Jalen Carter and be able to help him and then get a coach and Clint and that man – I mean, it's just like the best of both worlds. I mean, you got to be able to, reach players, especially in where they are in their life. And I think, man, you ain't seen nothing yet with Jalen Carter, because man, I mean, he is everything. But yeah,
wow.
Everybody, I think Howie did do something special there, and I think other teams might model that.
Great stuff. Mm-hmm. All right, whoever's the best team in college basketball, Seltzer, make sure the Sixers draft that team.
Okay, that's Cooper Flag.
91
Duke
UNLV.
Guys. Oh, yeah.
I went to 91 UNLV team on the Sixers.
Sure.
Even though those guys didn't do that much.
Yeah, LJ was good pro.
LJ got hurt. That was the end of that. All right. Brandon, this is our last time with you in studio during the season.
Let's go.
Because next week, of course, I'll presumably get you over the phone at some point. But And I know we'll see you in studio after the game. But eye to eye, God bless you. Good luck. We hope you play. We obviously dramatically hope you guys win. And I want to thank you, and I know this is like not nearly the end, because again, we'll talk to you right after the season, but being such a big part of our show during this season, man. I mean, and you know, the questions aren't always the most fun for you to answer, especially when the struggles were earlier in that old deal, but you know, we got nothing but admiration and love for you, and I really mean that.
No, I appreciate you, man. You always tell me that, and I appreciate that for real, and I appreciate y'all too, because it takes all of us, man. Y'all was helping me during a tough time too. I mean, being able to cry up here, that felt good. I haven't cried in a while, so that felt good to get through, and now to have a little hope. You know, I'm always hopeful, but man, it's like, ooh, if I can, I promise you I will.
Good for you, man. All right, two final things. Play if you can.
Yep.
And get Nick Sirianni hoisted up there, man, if you guys win. Man. And walk him to center field and drop him right in front of Andy and let Nick say, now we're 1-on-1, big guy. Hey, Brandon, good luck to you, man.
Hey, I appreciate that.
All right, there he is, legend Brandon Graham. Maybe one more game for BG this season. And I emphasize this season. That was really fun with Brandon Graham. If you were listening last segment, hope you enjoyed it. What a great guy. What a great player. Just tremendous energy, enthusiasm. Just what a credit to the Philadelphia sports scene. And we love him. We really do. All right, we like Elliot Shurparks. We don't love Elliot. You know, he didn't strip sack Tom Brady to win a Super Bowl.
Speak for yourself. It's my podcast partner. I love the guy.
Fair enough. All right, so Elliot, in about 10 minutes, will join us. And we'll start looking more ahead of the Eagles and Chiefs and all that good stuff. Also, something Jordan Davis said after the game the other day. We're going to play that audio. I thought it was really excellent. Really, really, really excellent. We'll get to that shortly. Your phone calls and all these topics. Let's go to Ed right now. Calling from Phoenixville. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Joe. Morning, team. How's everyone doing?
What's up, Ed?
Really excited, man.
Really excited. So I have a story. So game day, I was just leaving Rally House to get the girls their Eagles gear. They're all growing too fast. And I was getting, like, elbowed in the kidneys by people just trying to get the – it was like a zoo in there. So I went across the bar just to grab a quick pint, or across the street to a bar to get a quick pint. And, you know, bartender's really nice watching the pregame stuff. And as I was leaving – there's a big table of Commanders fans there, all decked out in their gear. And, like, the bartender was like, you should go over and give them a hard time. And I was like, this is about as good as their day is going to get.
That's a good point. That's true, man. It was all downhill for them for there. Yeah, no question.
Yeah, so, and I just, you know, it's such a, I'm still kind of on cloud nine here, but I was, you know, just while I was on hold, something popped up from The Athletic, and it was the first mock draft, and I wasn't even looking at the player, and I just looked at where do they have the Eagles picking? And it was the ultimate sign of disrespect.
31?
At 31.
Oh,
yep.
Man. That is.
So.
Was this ESPN?
It was The Athletic.
Yeah, bad job by them. Bad job.
Yeah, they're doghouse, definitely. So I just hope, just praying for BG. Hopefully he continues his recovery and we see him on Sunday. I think we will. I'm just feeling optimistic about that.
Yeah, and I thought he sounded pretty upbeat about it. I you know, that was my takeaway about it. All right, Ed, give me
but
or what.
He does not know.
He doesn't know. Yeah, he doesn't know.
I think deep down, though, you can feel it. You can feel that he feels confident.
I would agree with that. But, I mean, even Terrell Owens 12 days before the Super Bowl, probably don't know. I mean, you don't know, you don't know.
I think he truly does not know, doctor has to evaluate him still.
Cam Jurgens didn't know until Sunday morning the other day. And it was we're going to dress
you. Really, kind of knew, didn't know. Yeah. Was playing.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And T.O., if I remember correctly, I don't think his doctor cleared him.
Well, they had made him sign the waiver.
Yeah.
That was the whole waiver thing.
So, I mean,
thing.
You know, it's up to the doctor. Until it's not up to the doctor.
Yeah, that's a fascinating point. Ed, who or what got a second chance?
He really kind of had a sad career arc, but it was nice to see him come back in 07. How about Josh Hamilton?
Josh Hamilton did. Josh Hamilton, he was a great player.
And just
he was great.
Becoming a great player, period, was a second chance for him.
Yeah, that was an interesting. And then he kind of faded quickly. I don't know what happened there.
I think he lived a really hard life prior to that, you know? Like, he was a drug addict, all that type of stuff. I think it was just, you know, maybe
Understood.
Physically he didn't have it.
All right, James, I got to get on you here a little bit. Sorry, man.
Great. I can't wait for
this. All right,
this.
Here we go.
John, where are we going with this?
The hammer's got to, you know, point is. I can't say guns. I mean, that's not.
Yeah, hammer!
But I got to point my. And I certainly can't say hammer, but I got to point something at you.
Yeah, definitely don't say that.
I'm going to point my finger at you.
Okay, yes. Okay.
So, James, Stallone.
Point your nail gun.
My nail gun. Yeah, the movie.
Jimmy.
All right, Stallone put some stuff out there the other day. He does a great job being in on the Eagles thing. Like, when the Eagles make a run, he's really adopted Philadelphia. Like, it's all good. All right. James, we've got 12 days to the Super Bowl. We've got 8 more shows after this. Mm-hmm. Can you, for, like, the love of God, ever, somehow, some way, please get I still don't know why it's S-Y-L and people call him Sly.
Sylvester
Stallone. Can you get him on the show?
It is a good point. Why is it Sly?
Why is it Sly if it's
Sly?
It's S-Y-L and people call him Sly.
Because it's a different...
But it's not...
It just reorders the letter.
Well, it makes no sense.
But why wouldn't it be Sil?
Why wouldn't it be Sil?
Well, I don't know.
It's S-Y-L.
Well, why is Jack... A nickname for John. It just
changes that's a different point.
It's a different thing.
We're getting off topic. James Seltzer.
Yes.
Can you get Sly on the show? I mean, my God, we've been asking you for like 7 freaking years.
Yeah, I'll try. I'm not going to say I'm definitely going to get it. I'll really try.
Because you did strike out in 2024.
I did.
Nick Foles retired.
Why is
you still didn't get him on the show?
I got Eric Dickerson on. Give me a little bit.
Dickerson wasn't on the list, the celeb list.
True. I know.
We gave you 2 or 3 last year. You went 0 for the group.
Yeah.
You're always
on. He didn't even try on that group.
Well, he said he tried for, Apollo Creepy died.
Carl Weathers turned us down.
Was that 2 years ago?
It was 3 years ago or whatever. He turned us down. Like, I actually spoke to Carl's people, and he said, nah, I'm good.
So. Well, have just a little more.
Okay.
If Brandon Grant can come back.
I gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah.
And somebody that knows Stallone, help him out.
Yeah, I'll take any help anyone wants to offer.
please?
Somebody listening knows Stallone. Can that person please talk to Seltzer?
I know people who know people who robs people, as Snoop like to say in Starsky and Hutch.
Okay. There you go.
Right.
We know people.
All right.
There we go.
I like it. And if I can beg Jaws for a ticket to a Super Bowl party that I'm not even going to on the air.
Your sister is pretty cool to hang out with at a party. Well, I did hang out with her at a tailgate, and she is Nancy. She's a lot of fun.
Thanks. She enjoyed that.
Yeah.
It was great. She lives in Connecticut. She came down for the Rams
game. I didn't know that. Okay,
yeah,
that's
she
cool.
She was really psyched to be here.
Yeah.
All right. Elliot joins us in about 2 minutes. Alan in Belmar. What's going on, Alan?
Good morning. How's everybody today?
Doing great, Alan.
Still pumped up.
I was just wondering, I would like to ask Brandon if he considered himself in game shape, you know, being noncommittal on everything else. But that would have been interesting. I mean, you know.
Sure.
It's almost like he hasn't had enough time to get out of game shape. It really hasn't been long. What was the date of the injury?
It's been about 7 weeks. It was mid-December, right?
Yeah, that's really not long.
Well, for Joel Embiid, that's like 7 years.
Another question I had, and that first play, it really seemed, you know, when we got the first play the other day, it looked like Jalen definitely changed the play.
Yes. Yeah, I thought so, too.
By his actions, but I saw an interview, one of the reporters asked Dickerson, and Dickerson denied it. So, I mean,
interesting. Okay. By the way, Alan, back to your first point about Brandon and shape. You know, he said last night on the air, and he sort of intimated to this today, but not quite as extensively, that this was the easiest of the big injuries that he's had in his career to work through. And part of what he said was, this isn't a scenario like when he tore his knee or Achilles and it's on crutches.
The arm.
So he can run, he can bike, he can do a lot of stuff from a cardio standpoint to keep cardio shape going.
Yeah.
And that helps him
and
a tremendous
he
amount.
On top of all that. Like he's one of those guys that does the year-round approach. He's always staying in shape to where, he knows how to keep his body right.
So I don't think it's as much of that issue as you might normally think with some players.
Right.
You know, and again, Joel's just in a historic category of falling out of shape quickly.
So true.
Yeah. Alan, I want to get to Elliot here, my man. Who or what got a second chance? You can win the $150 gift card.
All right. This might be a little heavy, but in 1936, Max Schmeling of Germany KO'd Joe Louis.
Yeah.
And then they fought again in 1938, and then we're starting, Hitler was going to take over the world, and Hitler made it a black and white issue and the great Aryan race, and Louis KO'd Schmeling in the first round.
Yeah, listen, it's one of the most famous fights, you know, of all time.
Literally.
And certainly in the first half of the 20th century. That was a very, very big deal. Joe Louis with a second chance. All right, let's talk to Elliot Shore Parks. He joins us right around this time every Tuesday. But not when the Eagles are about to head to the Super Bowl every week. It's a special week, and Elliot is brought to us by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Good morning, Elliot.
What up? How you guys doing?
Quite a bit, man.
Super.
Elliot, so many things to go to, but let's start with this. We've seen a few videos come out from after the game inside the locker room, but you had far greater access than a 40-second video. And far greater access than we had. What happened? What was it like in that locker room after they won that game and advanced to the Super Bowl?
You know, the word I keep thinking about when thinking about going back to that time, a few days ago, is just joy. Like, it was just such a happy atmosphere. And it wasn't just the locker room. Like, the second I got down to field level for that celebration, it was on the field. It was in the tunnel leading to the locker room. It was in the locker room. It was at the space outside the locker room. I mean, I've been lucky enough in my career to be in a lot of joyous locker rooms. Like, I was there in 2017, NFC Championship games, big win games, all those things. The feeling in that locker room was the closest thing I've felt since I was in that locker room in 2017 in Minnesota. Just the feeling of, like, joy and watching everybody celebrate with each other, people FaceTiming each other, family was there, pitchers. It was a really, really cool atmosphere. And they deserve it. Like, look, I know that they have one of the best rosters in the NFL without question, but they weren't supposed to be this good. Like, at the beginning of the season, very few people thought.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
They could be this good. So they deserved, I think, every moment of that celebration.
Elliot, do we have a good idea of what their practice schedule is going to look like this week?
Well, the good news is they have 2 weeks now. So for a team that's dealing with a bunch of, you know, little injuries, I feel like the 2 weeks will be good for them.
Sure.
I would think that this week, they have not told us yet what the schedule is, even just doing the shows last night with Brandon and Cooper DeJean. Like, I don't even know if they definitely know what the schedule is for the week yet. I mean, Cooper said they're taking it day by day. I would imagine you'll see walkthroughs. Like, I don't think you'll see much of, like, a heavy lift this week in terms of on-field practices, just because I think it's good to get the body a week's rest. And I think this week is specifically set up for, like, installing the game plan, getting ready for the Chiefs. Because once you get to New Orleans, there'll just be so much more going on. You won't be practicing in your normal spot. So I could picture a lot of walkthroughs this week just to focus specifically on the game plan.
Do you remember what they did the last time for Super Bowl 57? If it was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, like a normal week before the Super Bowl week itself, or did they give the guys more time off than that?
Yeah, I don't remember specifically. I feel like the 2022 Super Bowl's almost been blocked out of my mind in the 2017.
Sort of. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but no, I don't remember specifically what they did. But I do think if you just look at how they've handled players this year from training camp to that week before the Giants game when nobody played, like it would be pretty surprising to me if they put in three hard days of practice this week. I think you will see them try to give guys some rest and maybe do more of the physical practice next week.
No, I think that's smart. Look, teams play well off of a bye typically, and part of that is you're not cranking it up for 2 weeks. You get to rest a bit. So you know, I support that.
There's something else I wanted to ask you about, Elliot. This is something Nick talked about. I think it was after the game. He was talking about, I guess it was Jordan Shipley being able to run down there and cause a fumble.
Will Shipley.
Yeah. My bad. Running down there, you know, stripping the ball out on a kickoff cover. It really is amazing. The concept of guys who were backs, star running backs, are now tackling machines. And it's almost like teaching toughness is something that we're able to do here in Philadelphia. And that's like a new concept. It is unusual to have running backs coming in and becoming better defenders, which is what we've got. Yeah. That's a special mix. That's a special desire, a special want to that you just don't see in ordinary circumstances in the NFL. It just feels like this team is on a different level in so many ways that there are too numerous to list.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely think that they have a special culture going down there. And I can really only compare it to last year because that's the most recent season. But I just think they're a way, way tighter team than they were last year. I always think back to last year when I'm paraphrasing here, and Brandon Graham said something essentially to the point of we just have to be, we just have to get along in the building, right? And that's kind of how bad it was towards the end of last year. And so now, talking to the players and just being around them, I can just tell being there, they just talk to each other more in the locker room. After the game, you see them taking pictures with each other. It just feels like a tighter unit this year. And so to your point about Will Shipley running as fast as he can down the field on special teams and trying to, I do believe that stuff comes from, not wanting to let down his fellow teammates and just to seeing everybody else do it. I mean, think about N'Kobe Dean, Nolan Smith. These guys were first round, Nolan was a first round pick. N'Kobe, obviously a huge star in college. They both played a ton of special teams for this team before they started becoming starters. So I agree with your point. I do think bringing these guys up through the special teams probably does add a toughness to them. But when it comes to Will Shipley's just desire to go down there and hit somebody and get the ball, I do believe that comes from just the locker room and how close these guys are.
You know, I'll tell you this, Elliot. I used these two words earlier, and I think it resonates with what you and John are just talking about there. I marvel at the unity that they have and the resolve that they have. And I don't quite know how they did it because of how I think we do believe they were fractured to some degree last year. But it's a tremendous credit to Sirianni and Jalen as the two main guys that this unity and resolve developed, because that's pretty rare, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, also when you consider just where Nick and Jalen's relationship, the roller coaster that has probably been over the last 8 months or whatever. But Nick did say something post-game that I don't think has gotten enough attention. I forget what answer it was, but he was talking about just kind of what we're saying, the tightness of the team, unity. And he had something in there where he was people focus so much on scheme. And, he's not completely diminishing it.
Yep.
But I think what you saw there was an insight into how Nick views he should run a football team. We spent all offseason talking about scheme and Kellen Moore and the blitz. And those things are important for sure. But Nick, in how he builds a team, I just don't think he's a scheme-oriented guy. And all these things we've talked about, what makes them special, why they're great. We haven't talked about scheme at all on this call, or really I haven't heard it on the station. So it's just an interesting insight into how Nick wants to build it compared to maybe the thing we all focused on.
What a huge point. Think about the defense. Why is the defense amazing? We don't blitz. I mean, we go some games where we blitzed one time.
Yeah.
One.
blitz.
Well, I agree. And all
the players themselves. It is the nickel cornerback. It's the lockdown cornerback, both young. It's the defensive tackle, Jalen Carter, young, just arrived onto the scene, but so sheer,
totally
physically dominant. It's another level. Well, he's an all-pro.
I'll add this, Elliot, and I'll put it, I think, in a way that can be understood by everyone listening, most of whom do not play pro football. You know, work environment, I don't care if it's a law firm, the post office, a sports radio station, pick your spot in life. Like, if people aren't getting along, you're normally not. It is almost impossible to be clicking on all cylinders.
Yeah.
I know the Oakland A's in the early 70s didn't get along. They won three titles. It can happen. But, like, if you're not getting along and the guy's sitting next to you in the cubicle, efficiency goes down. It just does. Because it's a drag. It's a drag. All right, Ellie, let's get to a couple other things. Dickerson and Juergens. So what's your early sense? We got 12 days to Super Bowl Sunday. What's your early sense on the availability for that game for Dickerson and Juergens?
Yeah, they're going to play. I mean, just being around these guys all year, seeing them in the locker room afterwards, talking to them in the locker room after, I mean, they're not missing the Super Bowl. We saw in this past game alone, like, Dickerson gave everything he could to be out there. Cam wasn't even supposed to play. Then he goes out there and plays. I mean, I would be absolutely floored if either of them doesn't play. Now, the question is, can
who's
they finish?
Who's worse off?
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess that's the question, too. But, I do think the question would be, can they finish the game? So, like, that would be where they're preparing this week, you know, making sure they have their backups ready just in case. But I would be very, very surprised if either of them are not suited up for the Super Bowl.
Good. I like that. You know, one thing, it really doesn't have to do with the game at all, but it's worth asking you, Elliot. This report didn't shock me, but I was surprised at the timing of it. So Ashlyn Sullivan, of course, works here at WIP and also for NBC Sports Philly. She had a really detailed report over the weekend about how, and I'm going to read it because we haven't even addressed it yet on the air. This was her tweet the other day. She said, Darius Slay is preparing for Sunday, and that was the Sunday that just happened, to be his last home game at Lincoln Financial Field. Slay told me this week after having conversations with his family, he is 85% leaning toward playing one more season, but understands it most likely won't be with the Eagles. When I asked him about the emotion of playing in his last home game this weekend, he said he isn't allowing himself to get caught up in the future. Slay confirms he will definitely not play more than 13 seasons in the NFL and looks forward to watching Eagles games from a box, not in the snow, in the near future. So they got a ton of options at corner. He obviously is a guy that makes some bucks. Do you? I mean, my sense has been this could be the end for him here, but do you think he just gets squeezed out in a financial sense with other younger, cheaper players ready to go?
Well, so I think money is definitely part of it. I think someone with his resume and his age, like, you're just not going to get super cheap. But I think the other kind of thing that would probably lean more towards him leaving is just, where is he going to play? So, like, obviously Quinion's on the outside. They could keep Cooper in that nickel role if they wanted. It's an important role. He plays a lot of snaps. So you could definitely keep him there. But considering they spent a second-round pick on him, he obviously has a bright future. Maybe you want to move him to the outside.
Yeah.
Or there's Isaiah Rodgers, who's a free agent this offseason. Like, is he going to want to re-sign here if he's backing up Darius Slay? So I think that money's a part of it. And then, of course, there's, like, Kelee Ringo. So I just think the bigger issue is they probably just are ready to give these other players more full-time roles and commit to them for the future. I mean, if you keep Isaiah Rodgers next year and you go with Quinion, Cooper, and Isaiah, and they're all good, like, that could be your secondary for, you know, 5-6 years or whatever.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think that's more of the issue than the money.
Plus, I'll add this because I do think the money is a huge part of it. You know, I mean, we saw 2 years ago, John, we saw they couldn't keep all the good players. They had too many good players in a salary cap world. That's why they lost
T.J. Edwards. Kaiser White, Epps.
Upfront guy. What was his name?
Hargrave was the biggest one, yep.
You know, like, this could be you get to keep Slay or Becton. You get to keep Slay or Milton Williams. They could be. And
Bond.
I get your point financially. I just think that's a difference. Like, they are not going to pick Slay over, like, Milton Williams.
No, I don't think they should.
Yeah.
All right, a couple final things here,
what
Elliot.
What about Bond, though?
Yeah,
what is What is he going to cost?
Dude, they should have signed him in October.
Why didn't they? That is so strange.
Money has tripled since October. Tripled.
Maybe since October. I don't fully agree that he's going to get this massive deal people think. Like, he's had a great player. This has nothing to do with his play. He's awesome, all pro, like, all that. He's still 28 years old with 1 year of real high-level play. So, like, those guys just don't get the monster money we're all thinking about. Now, they do
Well,
get
Reddick didn't, but I would be surprised if it's not 3 years, Reddick, 3 years, $50 million.
First team all pro.
And are the Eagles going to give 3 years, $50 million? A linebacker inside?
He's not going to get 3 years, $50 million. He's not going to get 3 years. And also, when you talk about Reddick, he's an edge rusher that had, what, 4 straight years of double-digit sacks on his resume? Like, Bond's going to get, in my opinion, $8 to $10 million a year and probably somewhere around $15 to $20 million guaranteed.
For what it's worth, there are only three linebackers in the NFL who have a total contract over $50 million in all the NFL.
Okay, well, one has a chance to win Defensive Player of the Year.
I'm just letting you know the landscape.
Fair enough.
You're just not factoring his age enough in here, in my opinion. Okay. Like, he's four years older than all these linebackers that get massive contracts.
Okay. Elliot, last thing. Tell me if you support this idea I've thrown out here, that given everything that Sirianni went through around here, including with our own station, that if the Eagles win the Super Bowl, they should hoist him up and carry him to midfield the way it used to be done a generation ago in pro football, the Super Bowl winning coach. Do you agree?
Yeah, I love that idea. And you're right. You haven't really seen that in a long time. I can't remember the last time I saw a head coach.
It's a little bit hard to hoist up Andy Reid.
I was going to say, that was tough. And Belichick doesn't strike me as someone.
No, it's not a hoist-me-up guy.
It's not very touchy-feely.
But it used to happen all the time. I mean, it was
Well, it feels
it was
like
regular.
NFL films. Like, I think about NFL films. I think of, like, Parcells and all these guys being lifted. It's a classic,
It
you
was
know?
All the time. And then it just stopped. So I would love to say it. All right, Elliot, when are you flying out there?
So I leave Sunday. I leave when not on the same plane, but I leave the day the team leaves. They arrive Sunday, and the craziness begins. So
nice
I can't
work,
wait
buddy.
Down there.
Yeah, all right, man. We'll have you on a ton, you know, this week and next week, and we look forward to it. Thank you, Elliot.
Yep, sounds good. Talk
all right, great report. Let me get to the Twitter poll question of the day. Of course, it's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. We heard from Brandon Graham last segment, so you can have that be a guidepost if you heard it to answer this question. Twitter poll: let your journey begin in the completely redesigned 2025 Equinox. From Armin Chevrolet, together let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Poll question: do you think Brandon Graham will play in Super Bowl 59? A yes, B no. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. All right, let's get to Big V. Now, John, bonus points for this guy if it's like the actual
that
Big V.
That would be something else, wouldn't it?
I mean, he
what
stepped in
Big
the
v
Super
doing?
Bowl. We're going to find out. He's been playing for where? Pittsburgh the last couple of years?
No, I think, wasn't he Detroit?
I thought he was in Chicago,
Detroit?
Maybe?
And then left there.
Oh, maybe.
Say Amalu's the one in Pittsburgh.
Oh, there you go. All right, is this Eagles Big V or Eagles fan Big V? Hello, Big V.
This is Eagles fan Big V.
Ah, good man. Okay.
Yeah. How you guys doing this morning?
Doing well. Big V's on the Lions.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, he's on the Lions. Yeah.
So, Big V, are you close to 6'6", 322?
No. More like 6'2", 253.
That's Big V in a regular person sense.
Well,
that is a Big V.
He's linebacker. That's
solid.
Big.
That's solid. All right, my man, what do you got for us on the Eagles?
Okay. One thing I love about the Eagles is that they are a complete team. I mean, balanced from their offense and their defense playing complementary. We're looking at the pass game being complementary to the running game, or the running game being complementary to the pass game. But most important is the culture that they have. I mean, you've got to give credit to Jeffrey and Howie for bringing in the people. But Nick has to take a lot of credit for you keeping them all on track. They're playing like one team, one goal, where last year they were playing like one team of 64 individuals.
It was bad. It was bad.
Yeah, complete implosion. But and you have to look at how they have shouldered the media, especially Philadelphia media, being very tough.
It's a challenge. I mean, yep, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, we saw them rally around Sirianni after he had that existential meltdown and went all Britney Spears on everybody, shaving his head.
It's an interesting way to put it.
People made a big deal.
Yeah, no, there's no question.
All right, my man.
That did coincide with the buy also.
It did.
So
it did. I mean, especially all the stuff they got from the jackass. I mean, the jackhammer. I mean, the hammer.
Hey, let me tell you something, Big Vic.
That was a nice job by you.
You know
Big
what?
V.
Hold on. Darius Slay has something to say to you.
No.
All right, because
it is driving me crazy.
You know, I mean, like, to be very clear, my opinion is
don't go there with me.
Don't do it, man. Don't do it. No, Big V, I love you, buddy. Give me a great answer. Who or what got a second chance?
I got a pick of a team that got two second chances. The Buffalo Bills. Super Bowl 25, 26, 27, 28.
Well, they got three second chances, or were chance three, four, and two, three, and four. All right, good call, man. That was entertaining. I want to get to some audio right after the game. So, you know, one of the things I thought was important coming into today's show was to not move too far off of just the basic excitement in the air and what happened on Sunday 2 days ago, because it wasn't that long ago. I mean, we got time to get to the Eagles and Chiefs, but I don't want to lose, you know, the feeling of how joyous it was 2 days ago. So I want to play two pieces of audio of players after the game. We'll start with Saquon Barkley. So Saquon talked to Tom Brady, obviously for Fox, post-game. They start with the 60-yard run. You're going to hear a very happy but a very focused Saquon Barkley.
Even from the first play, that was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, we want to set the tone, send a message to everyone watching into this game, and man, I don't really know what to say. I'm going to the Super Bowl. I'm super excited. I'm happy for this team. It was a team effort. And, you know, the goal is not just getting in, the goal is winning. So, one more.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I think about last summer when the Eagles signed you from the Giants, what did you expect when they signed you?
I expected this. This is why I came here. This is why I wanted to be in Philly. This is why me and my family made a decision to come here. We felt like that we can grow our family name, my legacy, and come out here and compete for championships. And here we are.
All right, that's Saquon the other day, and obviously love that. But I want to tell you something. I want to play you something that I love even more. I want to give you some audio of Jordan Davis. So Jordan Davis is doing an interview with Ashlyn Sullivan right after the game. Everyone's pumped up. They've already done a portion of the interview. He's excited about reaching the Super Bowl, that whole thing, obviously. And then in the midst of an answer, Oren Burks, his teammate, interrupts him. And I love the mentality you will hear from Jordan Davis, particularly near the end of this answer. Listen to Jordan Davis, a little bit of Oren Burks interrupting him, and I believe Ashlyn's involved in this as well. I really love this.
We just go out there and we play our hardest, man. We let the chips lie where they lie. And then, shoot, we're going to cash it in.
The pass rusher!
And how proud are you of that guy to step in with a massive injury and make the plays he made, Oren Burks?
So proud, man. He beat the odds, man. Came in, nobody knew who he was. He's out here grinding. He works every single day. And it's just the mentality that he has, man. He makes us better. And it's just infectious. The whole vibe is infectious. And we just play together on defense. The D-line is like a brotherhood. And you can see it by the way we play, man. We celebrate each other. We pick each other up. We have each other's backs. It don't matter. And it's just the way we go, man. It's the way we go, and it's the way we have to keep going. It got one more. It's one more. It's one more. It's one more. One more. That's all you got to say is one more. John's not finished. We're excited. We're going to savor it. But we got one more to play.
I mean, that part at the end, you
want to
talk about laser focused.
I think he said it 9 times.
I thought he said it 7 times, but like that is great. And you
could
see
the way he looked when he played too. It felt like he was so locked in, and I don't know if he got more snaps than what we were accustomed to. It just felt like he was penetrating more, he was on the field more. It felt like he is showing us he's ready.
Yeah, I mean
take his game to the next level.
And
too.
Look, guys, I will say this. I know we can't remember everything from 2 years ago, okay? I would imagine the Eagles probably had great focus at that stage 2 years ago. I mean, sometimes teams that lose have great focus and you just happen to lose. So I'm not going to just jump to their focus, therefore
they
win. Yeah,
they played
win.
A good game for the most part. They were in it. It wasn't like they got blown out.
And they had a 10-point lead. I mean, they should have won. But I think comments like that bode well. I do. It doesn't guarantee you anything, but that kind of mentality, because it also means it's coming from the leadership, whether it's player leadership or coach leadership. I mean, even Lurie, you could see on TV. Now, if you're at the game, you might not have seen this, but the end of the, or is it Howie? I think it was Lurie.
Lurie.
End of the game, he's going around. And you could see he kept saying, he had number one finger when he was talking to three or four different players in a row.
And he said at the end with Terry, too, even on the podium at the end. He's like, one more at the end of it.
I don't think he was saying, we're number one. I think he's saying, one more game, guys. Yeah, one more game, guys. One more game, guys. So that's good.
Jordan Davis only had 13 snaps in this game.
Yeah.
Well, that is problematic. That doesn't mesh with what I felt like he put out there during the game.
Yeah.
You know, but again, his role, it's what is he being asked to do? Well, what he's doing is he's performing at the highest level we've seen.
But you'd like to see him play
doing
more.
Yeah, while doing the snaps that they're asking him to do, I'd love to see that number be 25 and continue to get the penetration and the great play that we saw in the postseason.
I'm with you.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.